Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support Wrestle Talk.
Support Wrestle Talk.
Support Wrestle Talk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support Wrestle Talk.
Support Wrestle Talk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever Wrestle Talk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
Wrestle Talk. Rumble. Go as live.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Chopper Peak Pennell, and as always, I'm joined by my intangible co-host, Tempest, the Wrestler.
I am indeed Tempest. I'm a sleepy Tempest today.
You're a tired Tempest today, and I'm a tired Pete. So today we're just going to be I get the feeling that this podcast coming up might be like a delirious, stupid episode, possibly.
I'm glad I'm going to be mostly positive about this show. I really didn't have very many negatives, because it tends to be when I'm negative about things is when I kind of lose my mind,
yeah,
as we've seen over the last week or so. So maybe not, but again, little sleep deprived, so still
yeah.
Early.
Yeah, I feel that. To be fair, though, my tiredness is kind of my own fault, because it's not really from lack of sleep. It's from the fact that I've been going back to the gym. So my body is just like, you're using so much energy to sleep. And it's like, no, I just need to get used to actually expending energy and not just sitting at my desk all day. So it's just getting used to that. And it's not yet. And it's throwing me through a loop. Anyway, let's talk about NXT, where firstly, going to be talking about the start of or a complete face turn for Cameron Grimes, which I thought was really, really cool. Let's talk about it. Anyway, let's talk about this Cameron Grimes stuff, because I thought it was bloody brilliant. Because we had the million-dollar face-off that's been the build-up to this whole Cameron Grimes-Ted DiBiase angle that's been going on for a while, where Ted DiBiase has just been undermining Grimes left, right, and center. Everything that Grimes wants to spend money on, DiBiase does it first, or does it better. He's bought out VIP clubs, he bought a more expensive watch, he bought a house for $20 million. Sure.
Pocket change.
Yeah, pocket change for the million-dollar man. Not billion-dollar man. Million-dollar man. Sure, whatever. They had the big combination for this. Cameron Grimes comes out, and immediately before he can start talking, Ted DiBiase's music hit, and he comes out just to undermine him a little bit more. Love that. And you had a very kind of, in a comedic way, a very kind of sincere, heartfelt promo from Cameron Grimes. It was still very funny, but you did also go, aw, at the end of it. With him just being like, you know, I really look up to you, Ted. You know, I was kind of basing what I did off you. And, you know, maybe it's true what they say. You shouldn't meet your idols. And I was like, oh, Cameron, my baby. It's very, very,
so genuine.
Very right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was still stupid and still comedic, but also genuine and heartfelt at the same time. Yeah, I thought this was wonderful. And DiBiase says back, and everyone's like, "Oh my god, they're gonna go together." Ted DiBiase being like, "You know, I see a lot of me and you, kid, and you know, there's a reason I've been putting you through all this, and it's not just about all the money, you know. Sometimes it's about getting it done in the ring. And since you've become rich, you've lost your focus." And I was like, yes, DiBiase is going to join up. He's going to be the manager with Cameron Grimes. And then Grimes is going to get really good. And he's going to maybe go for the North American Championship or something. And he's going to win it. And it's going to be great. It's going to be really like, yeah, we did this whole journey together. It's going to be awesome. LA Knight interrupts. And, you know, I've not been super into LA Knight since he debuted in NXT, but I thought he did a really good job here. Promos are his strong suit, obviously, and I thought he cut a really good one here. And I quite liked that he was saying, like, look, if you're looking to someone to continue on the $1 million legacy, this guy right here, I've got all the... He didn't say this, but he's got all the intangible assets necessary to continue it on. And, you know, this is a $1 million opportunity and all that stuff. And DiBiase was saying, yeah, you are pretty good. You know, I've heard of you. I know that you've been doing it really well around the world and here, kind of thing. And then Cameron Grimes gets frustrated. He's like, hey, this was the $1 million face-off between millionaires right here. So why don't you just get out my ring? And he said, I need you to get out my ring or I'm going to kick your ass to the moon. And the crowd there was super into Cameron Grimes on this segment, and they kept saying "to the moon" across him and like chanting to the moon," which I love. Cameron Grimes is such a genuine babyface. I don't know how they've managed that from him being an a-hole with money. Yeah. How they've made him a babyface out of this, I don't know, but it's working somehow. And then he turns his back on LA Knight. LA Knight hits his finish on him. DiBiase then stands over Grimes and says, "Never gonna learn, are you, kid?" but much cooler, obviously, because he's Ted DiBiase, and walks out kind of alongside LA Knight. I didn't get the vibe that they were necessarily like immediately together, kind of thing. But more, it was just like, "Hey, I appreciate you, LA Knight. You're pretty cool." And LA Knight's like, "Hey, yeah, you're also pretty cool, my dude." So now Grimes has to like fight LA Knight for the. What's the word I'm looking for? For the attention of Ted DiBiase. I'm into it. I love it. Grimes came off so sympathetic in this segment. And even though he literally said at the start in his promo, he's like, I get to be a knob to people with money and I can make them do what I want because I have a lot of money. And people were like, yeah, go Grimes. It doesn't make any sense, but it just works. All right. I love this.
So I have thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts about this because I really enjoyed this segment as well. First of all, it's amazing to see a WWE product treat a legend perfectly in this segment.
Yep.
And really throughout this whole running storyline that we've got here between Cameron Grimes and Ted DiBiase. Because when was the last time we saw a legend used properly in WWE? Like, they all just come back, they get humiliated, they're all like, "Oh, I'm old and not a wrestler anymore," and they wander off as Randy Orton says something mean to them or something.
Sure.
This is like perfect 101, using your legend to benefit someone, bring someone up to their level, and then give them something to do going forward. Like, this is just so good. And it's the $1 million man, and he's great on promos. And you got Cameron Grimes, who's really like charismatic and good on promos. And then you've got LA Knight, who's also a really good promo. And you have three guys who are all really good at promos having a really good promo segment. So like, so good. Additionally, this is how you get a guy over as a babyface that was a heel. Because it's not just, oh, we're going to switch him babyface and people might go with it, might not. It's because he was so entertaining. Like, he's been one of the most entertaining guys on the whole show for like the last 2 or 3 months, if not longer. And now people want to cheer for him because everyone was watching his segments and going, yeah, that's pretty funny. He's losing his mind over Ted DiBiase again. That's funny. What a funny man. And now he comes out here and he's all genuine. He's like, really, really hurting my feelings, Ted. You were my hero. Everyone's like, oh, sweet Cameron Grimes. They're there, my boy. So it's really good to see, because for so long, WWE had such a problem with trying to get people over as baby faces.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's always like, just have them be a good, entertaining heel, and eventually you'll get there. You don't need to force anything, because this to me feels like a natural babyface turn, you know, because the fans are into it. You're not telling the fans, hey, you need to cheer this guy now. It's his turn to be cheered. It's just they want to cheer him because he's entertaining. So that's another A plus right there. I'm really into all this, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really into this going forward. Yeah. Cameron Grimes, been a big fan of him for a while now. Haven't been super hot on LA Knight, but I think this is a good pairing for him. I'm always happy to see more Ted DiBiase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is really good stuff, guys. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's just going to be a lot of fun. And I don't know whether that's going to be like a takeover match of Grimes versus Knight. I don't know if I'd have it on takeover. I don't know if it's at that kind of level yet, but it could totally get there in time for it. And I don't know whether they're going to keep doing. It's probably just the Mania special that was the stand deliver that was the two night takeover. So I think they're just doing the one night, aren't they, for this next one? Whatever happens with it, I just want it to be Grimes overcoming and going full fledged babyface, and still being a bit of a dick, and him just being Cameron Grimes, and he comes out in the jacket and nothing else, and the hat, and just says his name for reasons unknown, and people will cheer that, and people will chant to the moon. And that's all he has to do. He doesn't have to change his character, because people will still... I don't want him to come out and be like, I'm doing this for the fans, because that's like, that's not the Grimes character that we've fallen in love with. So I'm hoping they just keep Grimes as he is, but just fans will cheer him now, because we've seen how entertaining he is.
It's so funny to me, because when I saw him do the Rich gimmick when the whole GameStop stock thing was a joke for a week, I was like, that's a funny joke for a week. And then it kept going, and I was like, are you gonna jump the shark with this? You know, like, it felt like that was the joke of the week last week, and we're still here, we're still going with it. But he's totally made it work, you know, to see something that essentially could have been just a throwaway joke for 1 week turn into a feud with Hall of Famer Ted DiBiase is incredible. Is so wild. And also, I forgot to mention this in the written review, but I laughed really hard when Ted DiBiase came out and was like, I've been looking for someone to carry the mantle of the Million Dollar Man. And I was like, how about your son, the other Ted DiBiase? That we've all just completely forgotten about. Who held the Million Dollar title and walked around with a song that was priceless. And then it was, I come from money. He's just gone now. He never happened. Forget about legacy. It's all about Cameron Grimes.
That's hilarious. You know what? You say everyone forgot about him. I sure did. Oh, goodness me. Also, what do you think then of this feud being for the million dollar title?
I totally see that. I see that happening, like, not even a question. I'm not super surprised that the belt didn't come out this week, but I think it could have. Like, I was kind of waiting. I was like, are they going to bring out the million dollar title at the end of this segment and give it to one of them? And it didn't happen. I was like, okay, well, we'll get there. We'll get there for sure. You know, week, 2 weeks, takeover, doesn't matter. That's the direction we're headed. I think LA Knight's going to look really good with a million dollar title, honestly.
Oof. Man, I don't want Knight to win this. I want Grimes to win this feud. I feel like
I think Ted gives him the million dollar title.
Ooh, okay.
Because that's his guy. It's not a real championship, of course.
Gotcha. You know. Yeah.
And then Cameron Grimes has to be like, no, that is my title, because I'm the new million dollar man. I'm going to the moon.
Yeah.
Etc.
Yeah. No, I like that. Yeah. If he gets gifted it and then they fight for it and Grimes wins, I'd be all over that. That'd be great.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's get into your Ultra Chats. WrestleTalk.com/support is the link to do it. The link is on the screen if you want to get your Ultra Chats in. We'll go through all your messages before the show ends. Charles Berg says, seeing Mercedes Martinez be a badass has made me come up with a theory. What if Retribution was actually an elaborate VMAC test, where the wrestlers would only have a chance of succeeding if they decided not to join the group, and Burial if you said yes? You know, Vince McMahon's crazy. I don't think he's that crazy. Right?
Not Vince McMahon, not that crazy? That's a crazy statement.
McMahon,
that's as good a theory as I've heard for anything involving Retribution. Did they get a win after their debut? They may have gotten like one.
I get the feeling Mustafa Ali won once, maybe.
Sure. Have any of the multiple Bane costume wearing people won a match at any point?
I feel like T-Bar might have won once. Maybe against Ricochet or something like that.
I don't know. That's Dijak, right? Dijak was T-Bar? Yeah. I've tried so hard just to put all this out of my mind. This is an NXT podcast, not a Raw podcast.
Yeah.
I don't get paid to think about Retribution.
God, I'm so glad that she didn't, that she left it though, Mercedes Martinez.
Yeah, she really dodged a bullet with that one. Mm-hmm, I mean, she hasn't done like a whole lot since, but she's been around. She's been near the top of the women's division in that kind of like helping further other champions along kind of role. And as someone who is a veteran of the indie scene and is now in NXT, I think that's perfect role for Mercedes Martinez.
Absolutely. I think she had something at the very least. She's not like she's just there taking up space. She absolutely had something to the women's division.
She's not Tony Storm. Just losing all the time.
Yeah. Hey, she won last week.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Week before, whenever it was. Alan Monzen says, hi, LIW. With Hit Row going for gold, do you see Swerve as the next North American champion? I think it'd be a great way to build him up as a potential NXT champion challenger for challenger for next year. Also, best of luck for the Quizzle Mania tag team titles. Hashtag LIW for life. I would love to see Swerve as the North American champion. I don't want him to win it right now because I want Bronson Reed to hold it for a little bit. But I would love to see Swerve as the next North American champion. Yes.
Here is what I would like to see.
Hit me with it, Tempest.
I want to see a three-way match for the North American title. Bronson Reed, Isaiah Swerve Scott, and who's the last person? Santos Escobar.
Ooh, good shot.
I want a three-way match for the NXT North American title where Swerve does not win or get pinned. I want to see him win the NXT championship.
Oof.
Have him go through the NXT North American title without winning it and just go like straight to the main event scene.
Oh my
god. Timing is weird because everyone's a new champion right now. So taking the title off of anybody is like feels like they're pulling the trigger quick. But man, he is just the total package. And I love Isaiah Swerve Scott. I want to see him with all the titles. Have him be the tag team champion too. I don't care. All the belts.
I mean, we'll talk about the Hit Row promo later. But them basically calling out every single champion in NXT, I was like, yes, this is exactly what they should be doing. This is perfect. I'm very excited to see what they do and where they go next, because I genuinely don't know. And I'm excited for whatever they do.
Yeah,
I'm very pumped. We'll do one more ultra chat before we get out of here. I don't know what this is in reference to, but Dartrain24 just says, Tempest, you mean to tell me Ric Flair wasn't used perfectly with Lacey Evans? In all seriousness, do you guys consider Edge a legend that helped put the Tribal Chief character over?
Well, this is in reference to me saying WWE doesn't use their legends properly, in reference to Ted DiBiase, of course. No, I don't think Ric Flair was used properly. That's the first thing. I don't want to see Ric Flair and Lacey Evans possibly have a child together. That being said, I find it to be a weird kind of middle ground when a guy like Edge comes back and is like not a full-time performer, but he is like a member of the roster now. So I don't necessarily in that sense call him like a legend. I would call him a legend in the general sense of the word, but as far as being like a WWE legend, I don't think he fits like that criteria in terms of his actual usage. I think they've done a very good job with Edge, and I think his WrestleMania match with Roman Reigns helped just further the storyline, have a great match, help Roman Reigns, the whole deal. Very good stuff. But I'm talking more about like guys coming back for the legend shows and just kind of being inserted into storylines to move things along and being treated properly.
For now, let's get on to talking about the rest of NXT, where the show itself started off with a big kind of like little hype package, and then they had the three commentators standing up by ringside saying what's coming up on the show tonight. Really like that they do that. I like it when AEW does it on Dynamite as well, when they start off the show just being like, here's all the things coming tonight, just so you know. Really like when shows do that.
They've been promoting their shows, so we know what's going to be on the shows beforehand.
Yeah.
Let's keep doing it. It's been happening since TakeOver, and it's amazing. It's so simple to keep doing it.
Yep, 100%. So we knew we were getting Cross versus Balor 2 tonight. We were getting Bobby Fish versus Pete Dunne, which is great. You know, Bobby Fish's big return in a singles match, no less. The debut of Frankie Monet, and then the opening match, which was Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart versus Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. I thought this was a decent little match. Nothing too fancy or special, but it did what it needed to do. And eventually Ember and Shotzi got the win after the commentators called it an eclipse. It was a stunner. Just going to throw it out there. It was a stunner. Raquel went for the big powerbomb thing that they got. Ember kind of turned it around into a stunner, which the commentary team were like, eclipse! It's not. But nice try. And then Raquel went out the ring and they hit their double team finisher onto Dakota Kai and they managed to pick up the win. So it makes a lot of sense. Dakota Kai took the pin because Raquel Gonzalez. I don't know how I feel about Ember and Shotzi getting the win, honestly. I know they should, in theory, get the win because they're a tag team, but also Raquel and Dakota are technically a tag team who've been together for as long, and that tag team features the NXT Women's Champion. And I've seen Ember and Shotzi versus The Way 17 million times at this point. And they got Raquel's heat back by Raquel beating up Shotzi Blackheart after the bell. And she was saying that Ember Moon is next. Something felt a little bit off to me in this one. I don't know what it was, but something felt a little bit off here.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the match itself was like a really solid opening match. Like, you don't need to do all the crazy stuff, especially when you're saving that kind of energy for later in the show. That being said, I have been thinking the last little while that Ember Moon should probably be like the next challenger for Raquel Gonzalez, just considering she hasn't really done anything of note since returning to NXT. I don't really care about the NXT women's tag team titles, I'll be honest, but I really don't want to see Ember and Shotzi go against the Way again. You know, this was kind of set up as like, well, this will determine who the next challengers will be for the NXT women's tag team titles. And I was like, we've seen this match of the Way against Shotzi and Ember so many times over the last couple months. And this is the problem when you don't have any tag teams. Like, you don't have any tag teams. You've got Raquel and Dakota, who at least were teasing dissension last week a little bit. And then you've got the former champions and you've got the champions. I'm not going to count like Jesse Kamea and Aaliyah or Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter and stuff like that, because they don't really count. They're so low on the totem pole that they just, they're not contenders. I need viable contenders for these titles if we're going to have these titles. And I don't think we have that. That's really like, that is one of the very few criticisms I had on this show. It's just like, getting that match again. Hopefully this is like an injury angle sort of, and you can take Shotzi off TV for a week. We can focus on the singles match to at least break up the tag matches a little bit more.
I think that makes a lot of sense. If you do Ember versus Raquel as her next challenger, I think, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. This would be a good way to set that up. And especially even if Shotzi's out for like a couple weeks, that's all the time you need to at least set up the match. So even if Shotzi's cleared, Ember's already got the singles match like kind of penciled in kind of thing for a couple weeks later or whatever, then that's still fine. So yeah.
And then you can do Shotzi against Raquel after that.
Yeah.
You do another singles match.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. We then got a backstage promo from Ciampa and Thatcher, and I swear they must watch the NXT review, because I've literally said, when I look at Ciampa and Thatcher, I just want them to do that backstage promo that they once did, where Ciampa threw the chair and then Thatcher smiled at the camera. And they did exactly that on this show. They cut out all the comedy that they've been doing with the whole Toothless Timmy and all the shoes off for all, and all that jazz. Cut out all of that. And they just cut a really badass promo from them in the backstage area, slightly like edited to look cooler, because that's what they do. Saying that they weren't done with Grizzled Young Vets. And Ciampa got fired up, threw the chair off. Thatcher smiled at the camera and then added a nice extra layer, I thought, because he got up, picked up his chair, threw it against the side, and said he's going to enjoy breaking their limbs. I was like, this is what I want out of this team. Like, them being serious, just badasses who want to fight and will just kill people is exactly what I want to see out of Ciampa and Thatcher. I thought this was a wonderful promo.
As did I. It was a good time. I there was a moment during the promo segment where I would have, like, if it had just cut when Ciampa got up, walked away, and Thatcher just goes,
yeah,
I thought that would have been like a really fun time to cut the promo. But I mean, then we wouldn't have gotten a line about breaking people's limbs.
Mm.
Lovely baby face behavior.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I genuinely feel that if these two are going to be a rough and tough baby face team, they're doing a really solid job, notwithstanding the match they had last week that I butted heads with some of our viewers about. But I was on that show. This was on this show, and I liked it.
Yes. I'm hoping this is a soft reset for them, where they've just kind of cut all the comedy out and they're going to go and not be Toothless Timmy anymore. Would be ideal. We then got Pete Dunne versus Bobby Fish. Very fun little match, this one. I thought this was a really good stuff, because obviously this is Bobby Fish's big return match from TakeOver War Games all that time ago. War Games. And I thought, I think we've said before, just like, you know, the potential of Bobby Fish in NXT, probably not that high. Like, it might be as a singles competitor, like it might be around the North American title picture, maybe as a title holder for that, but probably not. Maybe cruiserweight champion around that kind of area as well. So not like super high on the card, but he's got some good legs in him to do like some really fun little matches. And this was an example of that, I thought. really kind of showcasing why he's a very good wrestler and why he deserved to be part of like that whole Undisputed Era and all the hype with him being tag team champions with Kyle O'Reilly and all that jazz. I thought this was really, really good. Loads of really innovative offense from both of them. And at various points, it really felt like they were fighting. At like so many different points where it was just so like scrappy, but in a really good, appealing way. Where it looked like they were legitimately trying to like force each other to the mat. And at various points, it was just like Pete Dunne just hitting him in the back of the head. And I was like, yeah, I can believe that that is what you would do if you were fighting right now, like legitimately. And also, I loved the finish. There was a really cool like submission sequence straight into a roll through into the bitter end. And I was like, that's smooth right there. That's yep. I know things about smooth. And that was smooth right there. and yeah, I thought it was really cool. My only issue with this was what happened after the match. But if you've got any thoughts on the match, we'll do that first.
Yeah, I mean, I think you basically hit the nail right on the head. This was a very, very solid TV match. You know, if these two had a match on a takeover, I think they could absolutely like go into the next gear. But this was a match that was perfectly fine just staying in second gear. You know, I watched this match and thought, man, I really like Bobby Fish. You know, I've seen him for years. I watched him live in Ring of Honor, the whole deal. Big fan of his. I've always kind of known that his ceiling was where it was. And to me, I talked about totem pole matches on the SmackDown podcast. This felt like another totem pole match where you just get the sense that like, well, Pete Dunne's here in their minds. Bobby Fish is here. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because you do need to establish kind of a hierarchy and a pecking order on the roster. But the only gripe that I necessarily would have had with this is if they were going to just have Bobby Fish lose his match to Pete Dunne, I would have maybe liked to have seen him get a few wins beforehand. It's difficult because Pete Dunne's being set up for the, the triple threat number one contenders match, which we'll get to in a bit. But so there isn't necessarily as much time before TakeOver. But if they had had the Oney Lorcan match before this and have him beat Oney Lorcan and maybe get like a warm-up match in and be like, all right, I'm ready to go. I'm back. I'm 100%. Pete Dunne, I'm coming for you. And then he loses. I think that would have maybe protected Bobby Fish a little bit more. But that being said, like you can't protect everyone in feuds like this. And Bobby Fish's ceiling is only so high.
Yeah, I get your point. But I do like the fact that Bobby went straight for Pete Dunne and didn't have to go through obstacles to get there first. I think it makes sense for the character to just be like, cool, I'm back now. I can wrestle. I'm not done with you. I would like to fight you. Maybe there's potential for Lorcan first. But I think if him kind of putting the blame on Pete Dunne and him being the reason for his injury, I don't know if it was in the match or whatever that actually did the spot that got him the injury. But that kind of him just being like, I'm not finished with Pete Dunne. I'm going to go straight for Pete Dunne, I think makes a lot of sense. You know what didn't make a lot of sense to me, though, was after the match, Oney Lorcan starts beating up Bobby Fish, which looks like we're probably going to be getting a Bobby Fish-Oney Lorcan match after this. Cool, sure. You know when Kyle O'Reilly was getting beaten up, and Bobby Fish came out and saved him? Where was Kyle O'Reilly here? I know they're not a tag team anymore, but that was the whole point of Bobby Fish. He came out and he saved Kyle O'Reilly and was just like, hey, this isn't for you. This is because I have beef with those guys. But he did totally save him. And then this time, Fish gets beaten up and Kyle O'Reilly's nowhere to be seen. So I'm not criticizing this yet, because if this is part of a story, I would like to see that story play out. That would be great. I don't know if it is. That's my slight concern, is that I don't know if this is part of a story and it might have just been a beatdown angle and they didn't think about it.
Yeah, I was going to save this point for later in the show, where I just really like when baby faces all have each other's back, you know, even if they don't necessarily have a whole lot to do with one another. I just like that. I like good versus bad in wrestling, and just kind of like, I like all the heels being in one locker room and being chummy. And then the same thing with the baby faces. And we saw that later in the show, but this felt like a segment where Bobby Fish very clearly has at least one friend on the roster. And the one friend didn't do anything on this show. So, like, what were you doing there, Kyle? Could have at least paid him back for having your back, you know, a week or two ago. But it's whatever. I think this is, like, a fairly small detail, but I definitely agree.
And I mean, I have faith in NXT. I'm sure that if this was intentional and they wanted to purposefully not have Kyle come out, I'm sure it will play out as part of a story at some point. And that's perfectly okay if this is part of a story. I just hope it is. That's all my concern is that I don't know if it is or not. Got a quick recap of Bronson Reed winning the North American title. Then we had Mercedes Martinez cut a little backstage promo where she said that she didn't win last week, but she learned a lot and she's on the road back to the title. I was like, man, why didn't Cesaro say that on SmackDown before he got attacked by Seth Rollins? That's the promo right there that Cesaro needed to say. Anyway, getting sidetracked. Thought that's made a lot of sense. She didn't make any excuses for her loss. And then she said, on the road back to the title. I was like, perfect, great. That makes perfect total sense for the motivation for the character. And then she walked off, and then Boa was there. And I was like, what? Why is he creeping?
Lurking.
Boa, why are you creeping, buddy? It made sense later, but it was just funny just seeing him just kind of halfway in the doorway, just looking in his trench coat and his sunglasses. Oh, it was weird.
You know what this show needs? More stalkers.
Yes, there aren't enough of them currently. we'll talk about the match now of Mercedes Martinez versus Zayda Ramir. Not much to say. Mercedes Martinez won in a couple minutes with an air raid crash.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's about it. This is another match where always seems to be in Zayda Ramir matches, but this is where I kind of feel like, still a little bit of a developmental show. You know, I don't think Zayda Ramir is quite there yet. You know, there were a few double clutch moments where, like, this is your turn to hit me and you didn't hit me yet. So, like, hit me, you know, which is like, it's going to happen. So I don't want to give them too much flack for stuff like this. But if we're going to review a show, I have to be like, it's probably the weakest match on the show.
But then afterwards, all the lights cut out and then there's smoke in the ring and all that jazz. And we see Tian Sha, I hope I'm saying that right, it came up on
looked up the pronunciation for the for the written review.
Very good. It comes up on like the side tron that they have, blows some smoke, and it comes back and Mercedes Martinez music carries on playing, but she's been marked on her hand.
Straight edge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. cool.
Yeah, no, that works. I didn't think that that Mercedes Martinez should be going back to the NXT championship. I know that's what she said, but that's what you have to say as someone who just lost a title match. I think going in the direction of facing Tian Sha, I think that's a much better direction for her.
Yes. Sure. I'm on board. See where this goes. Yeah. Then we got Hit Row did a promo.
Yeah.
Love Hit Row.
So cool.
So cool, right? They're just so cool. So they cut a really good promo where they basically called out every single champion in NXT and just said, hey, we're going to win all the titles if we want to because we're just that cool. And you know what? I believe them. Called out the North American, called out the tag champions, called out Cruiserweight, called out the NXT, and just said, hey, we can win whatever we want. And we're going to, because we're really cool. Also, they said it much better than I just said it, because they like half wrap their lines sometimes as well. And that's really cool. It's just, they're just really cool.
Yeah. I don't know how to keep gushing about Hit Row without totally repeating myself every week, but this faction is just so cool. They feel really authentic.
Yes.
You know, like, and they could very easily be like four people playing their roles, which is what you do in wrestling. But you can definitely see that, like, if you put other people in this role, they probably wouldn't do as good of a job. Like, these guys have all found their perfect spots on this show. I just want to see them succeed. And I'm not going to call anybody out, but I don't get how you don't like Hit Row. You know, I've seen some people just being like, I just don't get it. And I know that's what people say to me about Dexter Lumis, but I don't know what there is to miss about Hit Row. Hit Row is just so good, and they're so cool and so talented, and they're all different. And it's just so good. Such a good faction.
Yeah, so good. And I don't really know or care what direction they go in. They're saying that, you know, they got the tag titles down on luck, which, yeah, makes perfect sense. I could totally see them going after MSK and all that jazz. Calling out Kushida. Ashanti Adonis saying that he's going to knock him so hard it'll send him back to the future. I was like, that's a good line. Nice. It's a nice line. Love that. And yeah, Swerve saying it doesn't matter if it's the NXT or the NXT North American, he's going to go get a title. I was like, great. I don't know what B-Fab is doing. I don't know whether she's like fully ready to be a singles wrestler and all that stuff, or maybe she's just going to be more of a managerial role right now. I'm fine with either. But yeah, I mean, because they didn't call out like Raquel Gonzalez or anything like that, which, you know, that's fine. If that's not the role she's in, then that's not the role she's in. That's fine. Yeah, regardless, I genuinely don't know what direction they're going to go in, and I don't mind, because all of them seem like good options right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Love this. We then got the $1 million face-off that we mentioned before. Then we had Indy Hartwell backstage, was running around looking for Dexter Lumis, because she realized that he's still interested. But this came after last week when she said that she called him a loser, and he was the one who was doing a head massage to her. And then she found Ever-Rise, who got fired up because she was interrupting their show. And then Drake Maverick came in for some reason and said, hey, last time I saw him, he was in that room over there. So then she went into that room, and there was a load of drawings and pictures and stuff of heartbreak and him saying that he was a loser and
serial killer behavior.
Yeah.
He's going to murder you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's, and then she runs off, and we didn't get any more index on the show. So that was that.
I like these shows the best when Dexter Lumis isn't on the show.
Goodness me. It's fine. I said before that like the index story was slowly chipping away at my resolve, and I was slowly getting on board with it. Less on board with it this week. I didn't get this, because it's just creepy. It's not like cute. If he'd have drawn a picture of him being heartbroken, one singular, and just left it in the room, and she came in and found it and went like, oh no, heartbroken. The fact it's plastered across all the walls is like, okay, he's a psycho.
He's a serial killer.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is the kind of behavior you would expect to see in The Omen, putting the Bible pictures across the wall.
No. CJ16, you don't understand love, Tempest? No. You don't understand love. If that's what you think love is, you have a problem.
This isn't love. Listen, if I love love, Terry loves love. This is not love. Yeah. This is the kind of thing. This is the wall that you find in the basement of Ted Bundy after you find all the bodies.
God.
He's kidnapped people on this show before. He's put people in the trunks of cars, and now you find his serial killer lair with a bunch of, like, if I saw this, I would quit NXT.
Yeah.
But if she likes him, it isn't creepy, it's endearing. Finding a serial killer's lair is not endearing in any way, shape, or form. If this was real life, she would have to go into like witness protection or something.
Let's pretend that this is a flag.
Mm-hmm.
Big red flags, everybody. It's not good. Not good behavior. Sound the alarms. Goodness me.
Listen, guys. If you find a room in your partner's basement somewhere, and they've got pictures of bleeding hearts and a knife going into them, run.
It's just weird.
It's the only thing on this show that's like this.
I know, yeah. Uh-oh. Tempest, you might want to follow up on this one.
Should I take down my Tempest shrine? I have to see the shrine first. It might, I don't know, according to some of you people, it might just be endearing and charming.
Just that voice was great. All right, up next, let's move on from this, because this was like a minute and we've spoken about it for like seven. So let's move on from that. And we'll talk about the in-ring debut of Frankie Monet. This has been hyped up for ages. And I thought this was a pretty nice debut. I thought she did really well, obviously, because she's great as Taya Valkyrie. We knew this. We know she's a very good wrestler. She had a pretty decent match against Cora Jade. She won with the Glam Slam. I liked that Beth Phoenix goes, "Oh, it looks familiar," when she hit it. Yep. Well, that's a good little line from that. And then she got the win. It was cool. Good little in-ring debut. Got a character over. Good.
I seem to notice that WWE and NXT do a much better job of debuting heel wrestlers than they do babyface wrestlers.
Yeah.
Because they, in a debut like this, if you're just going to have like a 3-minute debut match, you should get the majority of the offense to establish your character, get over your moves, and then look strong. But a lot of the time when they debut babyface wrestlers, it's just like they just have a back and forth match and they show that they can sell. That's not the point of the debut. You want to make them look like a star and not have them sell too much. So they do a very good job when it's a heel, because they just go in and they just beat the babyface the whole time. And the babyface might get a little bit of offense in, but not very much. And that was what this was to me. I really liked Frankie Monet's music. It's amazing. Yep. We didn't talk about Bobby Fish's music, but oh my God. Oh, yeah. Generic rock theme number two this week. We've got number two. Number six for Kyle O'Reilly and number nine for Adam Cole.
Oh, I think I might prefer it slightly to Kyle's music, but it is slight.
Sure. Yeah. Like, yeah. I can't wait for Roddy Strong to come back so we can get generic rock theme number 12.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Not to bring it back to Index or anything. Just want to bring this one up real quick.
I can't tell if you people are trolling me or not.
Hold on. Just doesn't appreciate a classic Forbidden Lover storyline. Okay. You do know that you're not supposed to be rooting for Romeo and Juliet, right? You know that that's like, that's really bad because they're wrong. You know this, right? Like, he's, it's no, that's not love. I'm just gonna say it now. If you guys read Romeo and Juliet and gone, "Aw, that's a really cute story." No, you're wrong. That's not the point of the story.
You guys ever notice that when they make the documentaries and the biopics on people like Ted Bundy, and then you watch American Psycho, those people aren't like the protagonist of the story?
God. Oh, this is good. Gregory Nelson, let's not. Nope. I hope not. Nope. That's not. Not no. Like Romeo and Juliet. That would be awful. Anyway.
Bringing it back to Frankie Monet.
Yes.
I don't know if the Glam Slam means that they're going to eventually have a Frankie Monet versus Beth Phoenix match, but I'd really like to see that match. That sounds like a lot of fun and a cool way to get Beth Phoenix into the ring on NXT, which we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Don't know if that's the direction we're going, but I would like to see it.
Yeah. And even if it's not a, even if it's not a way to get Beth Phoenix, I think her just using the glam slam is a, I just think it's a really cool move for her to have. Like, it draws those parallels to Beth Phoenix without overtly saying she's Beth Phoenix, because she's like big, strong, blonde woman. So there's automatically going to be parallels between them. I think her using the glam slam is like, okay, cool. That's a nice move that everyone will recognize. And yeah, cool. Like it.
Yeah.
Good debut overall. We got a Grizzled Young Veterans promo. They're great. Saying that they're done with Thatcher and Ciampa, but they're not done with MSK. And they want to come for the tag titles, which probably means they're going to get beaten up by Ciampa and Thatcher. And Ciampa and Thatcher will force them to not be done with them. I'm all for it. And I just love Zach Gibson. When he says grizzled and when he says soon to be, I'm like, yes! I love your promo style so much.
Soon
to be. Yeah. We are such a grizzled young battle. Love it. Love it so much. Oh. Yeah.
I don't mean to keep coming back to this, but I got to point out really quick.
Okay,
I'm sure to some people they're protagonists. I don't want to talk to people who think that serial killers are protagonists.
Yeah.
No offense if that's you, but please don't come up to me in person.
Yeah, that would be ideal. God, this NXT review has gone off the rails. We then got a promo from Walter, who was inspiring Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner after Alexander Wolf was removed from Imperium and also fired. You know how we were talking about what his story could be for Alexander Wolf? Bit awkward now. But him saying, you know, you've lost focus. You're ready to get better than ever. You need to go get the NXT tag titles again. Matt Sacred, all that jazz. This was good.
Good stuff. Yep. Love Walter.
Yep. And I'm all for Imperium becoming super awesome again and just adding another tag team into that mix because we've got a few of them circulating right now. Solid little tag division that's brewing. Get them, elevate them up. Great. I'm all for it. We then got Bronson Reed, who came out, cut a classic babyface promo after winning the North American Championship last week, just saying you need to believe in yourself. And look, this is proof that anyone can do what you want to do. Just got to put in the work and you'll get there eventually. It took him 14 years to get the North American title. And he says, if there's anyone in the locker room, you thought I had a hell of a mountain to climb. Well, you've got a colossal mountain to climb. Excuse me. And then, interestingly, Santos Escobar came out with Legado del Fantasma. And he says that he had his eye on the North American Championship and that it represents Mexico. So it belongs to him. There was a really weird bit of comedy in the middle of this, which I didn't like. Of, who was it? Was it Joaquin Wild, I think? Kind of just came out next to me and said, but what about Canada? And he said, Canada doesn't count. I told you this. And then we're back to his promo. I was like, why did you? Why?
There's just there are no Canadians in this program.
No.
Why are you taking shots?
It's weird. It was just very strange for him to just call out Canada. It was like, Canada doesn't count. I was like
who?
Why?
There's only like two Canadians on this show, and I don't think Kyle O'Reilly is coming in to beat up Santos Escobar over it.
Just a very strange line. And it was delivered like a comedy line as well, of him just being like, what about Canada? It's like
someone watched South Park. Blame Canada.
Well, all right. But I did like him saying, like, hey, that title represents Mexico as well, which means it belongs to me. And him saying that he wants to have the North American Championship. But before they can do a proper beatdown onto Bronson Reed, out comes MSK to save Reed from a beatdown before it happens. Thought this was good.
Yes. I once again had a number of thoughts about this. One, I kind of thought the Bronson Reed promo was kind of like basic. Like it was very by the books and like believe in yourself, chase your dreams, become a champion. And I was like, it's good tried and true material. But I mean, it didn't light my world on fire or anything. And I saw some people on Twitter talking about how they didn't like that Santos Escobar was getting at least positioned for a championship match after having lost the Cruiserweight title and then his rematch. I don't know if I'm just trying to make this work in my head because I enjoyed it, but I liked this. And I'll tell you why, because when I thought that the Intercontinental Championship was actually at its peak, like in the 80s and 90s, when you lost that, you move up the card. And to me, this is what, like an example of that, where if he is going to be portrayed as a star coming out of a championship reign that was really successful, you need to make it mean something. And you make a title match and a title run like that mean something by having him move up the card afterwards. Maybe you need to explain that and just being like, you know what? You may have just lost the title, but the last 9 months of you being champion isn't just disregarded because of that. And you are still being rewarded for a very, very good run by now. You know what? Yeah, you are higher in, if this is the AEW rankings, higher in the rankings than if you're just like, oh, I'm just going into a new division. And this is a blank slate. I don't think it should be treated like a blank slate, you know, because his work as Cruiserweight Champion was really, really good. It was really, really good.
I agree. And I thought it was a nice, it was someone that I didn't expect to come out to answer Bronson Reed saying that. And I'm really interested to see what Santos Escobar does. I'm curious to see what a matchup between those two would look like, because I think that could be a really interesting mix of styles and stuff like that. That would be really interesting. So yeah, I'm all on board for this. Also, just want to point out this one. Don't understand love or comedy. I understand comedy, and it was a funny line. Why was it in the middle of a Santos Escobar promo? Doesn't fit their characters. That's what I'm saying.
I love when people are like, you don't understand comedy. When it's like, do you understand comedy? Set up, payoff, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Missing a good chunk of that in this this joke here. See, when Cameron Grimes and Ted DiBiase come out, we laugh.
Yeah.
It's good comedy.
Because it's comedy. And it's supposed to be comedy. And it fits.
This was also the segment, just before we move on, this was also the segment I was going to bring up earlier in the show with MSK coming out to make the save for Bronson Reed. Of course, MSK is feuding with Legado del Fantasma, so there is that connection there. But I really do like, just like, got your back, man. Good guys. Same team.
Yeah.
Like that.
I also like that they really just don't like Legado del Fantasma. So it doesn't matter who they're facing, they will always come out and just save them from them in particular, which is cool. We then got confirmation of Kyle O'Reilly versus Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano for the number one contendership match for the NXT Championship next week. I don't know if anyone online was upset that Johnny Gargano was in the number one contendership match. I didn't see any backlash to it. But hey, he lost the North American title, and now he's in a number one contendership match for the NXT Championship. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
He was a great North American champion, previous NXT champion. Like, he fits in this mix. Cool. I'm really interested to see that match. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, a little disappointed that we're seemingly not getting the six-pack challenge idea that we'd been theorizing, but that's just because I wanted to be right. I think this match is going to be great, and whoever wins is going to have a really good match with Karrion Kross.
Yeah, I know we've been really like bringing up all the messages from the chat today. I'm just going to do one more. I'm confused by this message. Pete's the funniest man ever. He laughs at everything. That doesn't make me the funniest man ever. That makes me the biggest recipient of funny, I guess.
The biggest recipient of funny.
Yeah.
That's your intangible for the day, Pete. You are the biggest recipient of funny. Speaking of intangibles.
Oh, I was just about to say it. I was just about to say it, Tempest. Come on.
We're here. Oh, we got a t-shirt because of this stupid NXT crap. Let's go.
Okay, Kross versus Balor, the NXT Championship main event. Intangibles are back, everyone. They bring them out for
There's
the big
so
title
many.
Matches. Each of them got four intangibles, Tempest. So many of them. Okay, I'm just going to clarify for people watching for the first time, because when we brought up intangibles before, people are like, what are intangibles? So I'm just going to clarify. They bring up little stats to be like, you know, their previous accomplishments in NXT. Like when they introduce them in the ring and they say the title matches for the NXT Championship, introducing the challengers from Bray County, Whitlow Island is Finn Balor. And it has like his weight and his height and previous accomplishments, you know, first ever Universal Champion, previous two-time NXT Champion. And then they have intangibles right in there that says they're like intangible assets that make them a good wrestler. They got four each. Four each. Okay.
They must watch this podcast. They don't. Great explanation for this.
Right? So, Finn Balor's ones. Ruthless, agility, enduring stamina, as opposed to a different kind of stamina.
As opposed to endurance or stamina. Enduring stamina. He basically had five intangibles.
And ring IQ. Okay, ring IQ I can buy, agility I can buy, ruthless, sure, I can buy it. Enduring stamina is the one that really got me. Goodness me. That's, oof,
not
man.
Ruthlessness, ruthless. Ruthless. Not agile, agility.
Agility, yeah.
Figure it out!
Noun or adjective? Speaking of nouns or adjectives... This
he's not
one.
Cold-blooded anymore, by the way.
He's not cold-blooded.
He lost that one. He's not cold-blooded anymore.
No, he's ruthless now. It's different. Speaking of stuff that doesn't make sense, here we go with Karrion Kross's. These ones are brilliant. Here we go. So he's changed now. He's not a dominant striker anymore. No. He's an intense striker. Whatever that means.
Is the difference between dominant and intense.
He's not dominant when he hits them. He just hits them really intensely. That's
the difference. Is that not worse?
Yes.
That's worse.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is. Also, okay, so intense striker.
Yep.
Judo grappler. Sure.
Sure.
Presence.
He's here. He's standing in the ring, and that makes him a better wrestler. I mean, I guess they're not wrong. I guess you would be a worse wrestler if you were just not present. Do they just go on dictionary.com and look up adjectives?
Genuinely, like, surely they could have put dominating presence as a thing. Because that is an actual thing. You know, it might not be an actual proper, you know, intangible as why you're a good wrestler or whatever, but at least it's actually a thing that exists. They have presence and then they have dominating. What? Come on!
My God, he's not dominant. God. Dominate is doing the act of dominating.
Yeah. And, to clarify, there was definitely a comma between presence and dominating. Those are two separate intangibles for that. Oh my goodness.
I really, really want John Cena. It'll never happen. I really want John Cena at one point to come down to NXT for a title match so his intangibles can be ruthless and aggression. The ultimate callback.
No.
Ruthlessness and aggressiveness.
It would be ruthless and aggressive. It would be his things.
Yeah. Christ.
Because I couldn't even get that right. Oh my God. God, these intangibles are so stupid. I love them so much. Please never get rid of them, NXT. They're genuinely one of my favorite parts of the show, and also we got merch off it, so thanks. Anyway, the match itself, the actual important bit about this is the actual match for the NXT title. This is a really, really good match. Awesome. Obviously, they're both fantastic wrestlers. They have great chemistry. We've seen it before. One of my first notes for this match, I think this is a combination of probably what it is in reality and also just really like fine line selling from Karrion Kross, in that Kross feels very dense. Like, his muscle mass feels very dense. He just feels like it, because he's not like, you know, he doesn't have a rippling 12-pack like Balor does or anything like that. He's a bit kind of bulky. He's not like super duper defined, but you can see he's in really, really good shape. But it was like when Balor was hitting him, there was like no movement from his muscles at all. It was just, and that was it. Yeah. There's just no like shake or anything. It's just dense. It's really cool. It's a really unique like body shape and I guess he's just got a presence, you know, a dominating presence.
Don't make them right, Pete.
It was, which I think would lead to a really cool dynamic between the two. Was a great match.
That's his intangible. He's dense. Density.
Dense.
Oh, man.
Goodness me.
Yeah. I really like this match, though.
Yeah, it was a really, really fun match. Loads of really cool spots in it. Really nice, like, unique stuff from Balor, like escaping out of various moves here and there to get out of it, like trapping him in the apron and stuff like that and hitting the penalty kick afterwards. I really loved the near pass-out spot from Kross, where Balor got in the choke and Kross was on the verge of passing out. I was like, wait, has Balor won? I was like, no way he's made Kross pass out, to the point where his arm was like proper, like loose, like the ref was checking to see if his arm was going to drop. His arm dropped, but as the ref walked away to call for the bell, Kross literally grabbed the referee's hand to stop him doing it and like pulled himself up out of it. I was like, that is a beautiful spot. Really, really well done from them. And Balor passed out in the end. Karrion Kross won with the thing. Stuff. Yeah, the choke. God.
Nailed it.
We're both very tired, guys.
Yeah. We were worried about how this podcast was going. It's gone off the rails a couple of times. I thought this, going into it, I didn't think this was going to be like a TakeOver main event match. I thought this was going to be a NXT TV main event match, which would still be very good, but I didn't think they would cross that next level. And by the end, I thought they did. You know, I thought that when Cross hit the Saito suplex and set up for the, you know, running forearm strike to the back of the head, that that would just be it. And it would be a good match. He's an intense striker, not a dominant striker. He's an intense striker. I thought that was going to be the end of the match, and I would have been like, good match, really fun show, enjoyed it a lot. But then it kept going, and that, like, last 5 minutes of the match really hooked me. Like, I had the hockey game on my computer while I was watching this, because go Leafs go. So this was a moment where I was like, don't care about hockey. I am locked into this match right now, and it was good stuff. I really enjoyed it, and I said in the written review that we got Cross looking really dominant, but also making Balor look effective. And it was, they walked the line at certain points, because like Balor hit the kick and the tope to the outside, and Cross just kind of like popped up and hit a suplex on the outside. But there were still times where like Balor had Cross on the ropes. And if this was just a match where Cross got all the offense and dominated and won, I think that would have devalued Balor just a little bit. But they didn't do that. And they had a really good back and forth match. I really enjoyed it. This is the kind of match I want to see out of Karrion Kross.
Yeah, 100%. I think this is one of the best matches he's had in NXT thus far, yeah. I thought. Really, really good stuff all in all. So that was the show overall. I know you gave it a 5 out of 5 in the edited review. I probably would have gone with a 4, just because for me, like, as much as I really enjoyed the main event, I thought it was really, really good. A lot of the show I thought was like, good, solid stuff. There was nothing overtly wrong with it. I just think I needed like a bit more, just like, this was one of the best things. This is like amazing. I can't wait to see more of this. And the stuff that was like that for me was like the Hit Row promo, which takes up like a minute. Like the Cameron Graham stuff I was super into, but not like super over the moon about. And I think NXT's put on maybe better main events, even in recent weeks. Like I think I preferred like Kushida Escobar and stuff like that to this match. So it's like, this was all really good, just not like amazing good for everything. It was just very, very solid stuff. So I probably would have gone like a high 4 out of 5 rather than a 5 personally, but I can totally see why you give it a 5.
Yeah. I just think like I was going for a 4 until the main event, where the main event to me put it over the top. And I didn't think that there was a bad segment on this show. I had little nitpicky type things, but like very small criticisms throughout. And when you have so little wrong with the show, and then you have a really great main event, that was enough for me to say like, yeah, that's a 5 out of 5 show. Just there are other shows. I think the one from like 2 weeks ago, I would say is like a better 5 out of 5, if that makes sense. But I think
a
this
low
past,
5.
Yeah, if that makes sense. A low perfect show. You know, it underscores are stupid anyway. But I thought this passed the threshold of being like, you know what? That's probably the best show I'll see all week. Very good stuff.
The intangible one, Ryan D. Bad, said, a shame. Seems I missed a great episode of NXT, but Sportsnet decided to air a crappy Leafs game instead of NXT. Go get them tag titles, LIW. Hold on. P.S. My Jets will see you in the next round, Tempest.
Incorrect, sir. Incorrect. Maybe for you, because if you're in Manitoba, then maybe your channels were switched around. But they, yeah, Sportsnet, stop preempting NXT for hockey when you've got 6 channels. Sick of this. That being said, no, it was the Carolina Nashville hockey game that was on Sportsnet 360 and made me watch NXT on a computer.
Man.
Not happy about that.
I feel for you.
Yeah. They're there. This
an intense 5, not a dominant 5.
It's good stuff. Yeah, man. Yeah. It's the cup. Go Leafs go. Those are my boys. Yep. That's an old poster. None of those guys are on the team anymore.
Sure is that cup.
Yeah. This is a big deal, Pete. I will do a podcast hammered at 10 a.m. if they win the cup. Be warned. Okay. Because this is gonna be on you.
Oh no. That's
this is gonna be for you to deal with. They're winning. They're winning the cup. Coming for you, Winnipeg. Winnipeg Jets. Jesse Pollock, you don't watch wrestling. You work for sports in Toronto. I see you. We're going to beat your ass.
Sadie6969 Deegan says, well, if it isn't my favorite boys, Hit-Row continues to rule as the baddest kids ever, but Johnny Cute Boy lost the NA title, then gets an NXT title shot. WTF, I am very confusion. I can't wait to see y'all draped in Quizzle Mania gold. Hashtag LIW444 life.
I think we kind of went into detail about this earlier, where it's like, if you have a really good championship run lower on the card, I do like to see, like, you lose the title and you get bumped up. Not to, like, you are the number one contender, but at least contending for the number one contendership.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. Judas Messiah says, week two of your guys' three-week push, just 1 week left, and can't wait till you two get buried. Anyways, I agree with one thing you dork said. NXT does need more stalkers. The great Dexter will be the next NXT champ. All of the show. Bye. I'm not going to rise to that very obvious bait.
Yeah. There you go. Thanks for the money.
Yeah. Appreciate
it. I love when people pay to troll us.
Yeah, it's good. Keep doing it. We appreciate it a lot. Matt Ralph says, Wednesday at 3, time to wind Tempest up about Dexter. Who do you guys think would be good to come back down to NXT and have a similar Balor run for a year? I think Ricochet versus Cross would be fun once he's finished stealing hats. Love you guys. Maybe he could steal Cameron Grimes' hat. Just lean into that gimmick. Who knows?
Yeah. Again, I'm not a big fan of people coming back to NXT.
Yeah.
Just in general. So it's not something that I'm like, oh, that guy would be really good to come back to NXT. And that guy would be really good to come back to NXT. But yeah, Ricochet sounds fun. I like that idea. Chad Gable. Mm. Let's put Chad Gable back on NXT and just have him be great.
You know what you should do? Genuinely, I know this feels like this is probably under Gable. Have him come back and be Cruiserweight champion and put on amazing matches week after week after week, and just run through every good wrestler in NXT and just have great matches with Chad Gable every single week, and everyone will love him by the end of it. I can guarantee you.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's kind of what I'm hoping to see Kushida do as Cruiserweight champion. He hasn't really wrestled too much the last few weeks, which is a little disappointing, but it was
2 weeks ago. He had the 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah, something like that. I think it was 2 weeks ago, which is very good. But I was like, where's Kushida on this show? But yeah, a Cruiserweight title, that should just be like the new workhorse title, basically, to me.
100%. I'm with you. We've got one more here from Jay Gupta that says, just here to wish my boys luck for tomorrow, today. Bring that championship to the Rebels. Also, Tempest, are you marked as well? Get out of that room before it's too late. Hashtag LIW for life.
I think he's talking about the predictions that we're doing tomorrow.
Yeah, that also makes sense. Yep. Yep.
That's okay. We'll be Quizzle Mania tag champions by then anyway. So we'll get both.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Quizzle Mania tag champions, and we'll be destroying them in predictions warfare tomorrow as well. Well, technically on Sunday, but we'll be doing the predicting tomorrow, and we'll make sure that we get the best predictions. Yeah. Flawless. Got an email here for you, Tempest.
I'm very excited.
I think you will enjoy this one, because this one comes in from Juan. Just says, hola mis amigos, since you like dogs, I think it's time to introduce you to my 12-year-old dog, Larry.
Oh, let's see Larry.
Let's do it. Share. Boom.
Larry looks like such a good boy.
Such a good boy.
That face,
it's almost like a fox.
Yeah he's like slender, kind of.
Yeah
very sleek.
He's a good boy.
Very well groomed.
Yeah, very well groomed. Thank you, Juan, for that was great. We love Larry. If you guys want to send us more pictures of your dogs, we will not complain, because we both really, really like dogs. Also, if you guys want to email in, support@wrestletalk.com is the place to do so. It would really help us out, so it gives us stuff to talk about. So on days like this, when we're both really tired and brains aren't functioning, we have stuff that can actually spark a conversation, because otherwise we're going to struggle, because we've got one more email here, Tempest, and then we're going to be improvising, and that's going to be awful. We've got one here from Abby Gudimella, who says, hey guys, I finally finished my AP exams. I didn't really do as well as I wanted, but did exactly as bad as I expected, so I guess that's not the worst. If you guys don't really know what an AP exam is, it's an exam that you write for a university-level course that you take in high school. If you do good enough on the exam, you don't have to take the course in university. Thanks for keeping me somewhat sane during these past few weeks. Things haven't been the best with my mental health, and it means a lot to have Los Intangibles by my side. Rooting for you guys to win the tag team Quizzlemania. You're the babyfaces in this storyline, I mean false narrative, created by Oliver, LIW's number one fan, Abby Hoodie-Meller. Thank you very much for the email. And yeah, it's great that you finished your exams. Shame you didn't do as well as you wanted, but hey-ho.
Yeah, I mean, I think I did something kind of similar when I was in high school. It wasn't like an exam for a university course, but I did a dual credit program where I did a college course while I was in high school. Really don't know why I did it, to be honest. Didn't need to. Didn't really go towards my post-secondary education. So it was just kind of for a bit of fun. And I had a fairly good time. I got to talk about wrestling sometime.
Oh, that's good. Which, yeah.
Yeah, shocking, right? That Tempest the Wrestler talked about wrestling.
Never would have guessed it.
No, of course not. But yeah, we're on the road to Quizzlemania 35, where I will drag you, Pete, kicking and screaming to a Quizzlemania victory. Don't you shake your head at me.
Hey, man. There's going to be no dragging needed. All the restraints that I've had on me have been taken away now. You know, I've always had someone pushing me down, and now I don't anymore. So it's going to be a good time. I'm going to unlock this whole other side of me that I didn't know existed, and we're going to dominate. And we're going to become Quizzlemania Tag Team Champions. There's going to be no carrying needed on your part. It's going to be great.
Well, that's good. Now, keep in mind, I don't have any like prior knowledge as to what is going to be on this episode of Quizzlemania as far as rounds go. But I'm a little bit concerned, Pete. We've been doing this podcast for a month and a half, almost 2 months now. I'm worried that we still don't really know enough about each other's tastes. If it happens to come up that we need to do a marriage game or something like that, where we need to really know our partners, I think we need to go into this a little bit prepared.
Okay, let's do some quick fire stuff then. Okay, so I would say favorite wrestler. I think that yours is Edge.
That is a wise assumption. Yes,
I did it. Okay, great. What's mine? I don't even know my own. So good luck.
See, that's a difficult thing. You need to be a bit more decisive here, Pete.
Yeah, okay. Who would my favorite wrestler be? Because it changes all the time, you see. Okay, I've got one. Have a guess, because I've got one in my head now as to who I would definitively say currently.
Currently, I'm going to guess Roman Reigns.
That's not the person I had in my head, but that's a very good shout. Because the person I had was Keith Lee, because he's the best. And Keith Lee's amazing, and I love him.
He is the best.
It's weird, because I really like Roman Reigns. Like, really, really, really enjoy him. I think there's always some part of me that, like, will appreciate the guys that aren't at the top more, because I'm like, oh, these guys deserve to have more. I want to get behind them more, kind of thing. As much as I love Reigns, he's, like, the guy. So seeing people like Keith Lee, I'm like, oh, who could be at the top? Like, you know, I loved, well, and still do, Drew McIntyre. Absolutely love that guy. But dude's been at the top and WWE champion for like a year now. And I'm like, cool. I'm really glad that he's there. And that's amazing for him and all that stuff. But now I'm really getting behind like Keith Lee. I want him to get up, and Damian Priest. And like, you know, I want all these guys that I really like to do really well. So I think it's, because Reigns is at the top, I don't feel as strongly about him as I do as other people, as great as he is. Yeah.
Very, very, very interesting. I mean, I definitely understand that thought process. It tends to be a little bit more fun to cheer for the chase of someone going for the top title. You know, like that's what we've been conditioned into really enjoying in WWE of late. But no, I'm with you. I'm with you, Pete.
Yeah.
How about, as opposed to favorite wrestler, who you consider to be the best wrestler? Period. Ever. Ooh. All time, all my life.
All time best wrestler.
All time best wrestler. This is the one where I've been going back and forth like every day for years now about who I think is the best wrestler of all time. But I think I've got it nailed down. So I'd like to hear your opinion.
Okay. So for you, and I'm not just saying this because he's also Canadian, Bret Hart.
Very well done, Pete. That's my guy.
I'm so good at this game.
See, maybe I should have a bit more faith in us for our game later today.
You see what I'm saying? No restraints on me, unlocking a different side. Yeah, my problem is that I don't know my own feelings on wrestling. That's where we start to fall down.
Well, we're 50% of the way there.
Yeah, you know true. Me. It's true. Yeah.
I just but need I to just... know you.
And I need to know myself, Tempest. Right, I need to think. Who is the best wrestler of all time? And that's really interesting because what it depends on your definition of what you mean by wrestler. Do you just take into account like pure in-ring style or their character or how they connect with fans or like who's the best wrestler of all time? Of all time is a big question as well. Damn. Oh, man. I've got an answer.
God, because it could be anybody.
It really could.
It could be anybody, because you're not like an Attitude Era person. So you know, it's like if I was asking like Alex McCarthy or someone who's a little bit older, it's like, oh yeah, the Rock or Steve Austin Rock, or something like that. Yeah. For Pete, Chopper Pete. Let's go with Shawn Michaels.
You know, so close to picking Shawn Michaels. So close. Kurt Angle, I think.
Ooh, that's a fun one. Yeah, I like that.
I think just because not only is he one of the best in-ring performers in ever, but also just his pure range of everything from just being, you know, pure wrestling machine, doing comedy, and just getting over in so many different facets as face, heel. Like, he does everything and does it amazingly well. Like, I think that's just complete package. Kurt Angle is the best.
Package.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, if he had been in WWE at a higher position, I think it would be like he is in the same conversation as like Shawn Michaels as the best all-around performer of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think he is in like most educated fans' minds and like most people who watch enough wrestling to have seen Kurt Angle and really appreciate him. But it's just because he left WWE for like 10 years that they don't promote him the same way as they would promote Shawn Michaels, if that makes sense.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. Least favorite wrestler of all time.
Ooh, see, this is one that changes every so often. If I just see, like, it could be freaking Reginald every Friday when I play. My least okay, I know. I know who my least favorite wrestler of all time is. And I don't think it's going to be someone that you'll guess, I'll be honest.
Oh, okay. Well, that might have thrown me through a loop here. Great Khali. I don't know.
It's not the Great Khali. While I'm not going to say that I'm a fan of the Great Khali's work, I will cut him some slack just for being massive. Now, my least favorite wrestler of all time is Al Snow.
Really?
He is a guy where I look at him and I see his work. He just seems like the single most boring, mildly talented wrestler. Like, I've never seen an Al Snow match when I'm looking through a pay-per-view card and being like, gotta check that one out. That, and take into account like a lot of his views on wrestling, and I'm just like, I just don't like you, dude. Mm-hmm. You know? There's a lot, like, I don't want to start just burying a bunch of people, but there's a lot of people where I'm like, you trusted this guy to run developmental, you know, whether it's Al Snow or Bill DeMott or guys like that, where it was like, I don't recall ever seeing them have a good match. I don't recall ever seeing them have like really good promos, and they got whack ass views.
Yeah, sure.
You know? Yeah. So I don't know if that one will come up, but yeah. Whew. Yeah, Al Snow.
Now, okay. What's mine?
See, now I'm inclined to think of someone like more current. And I don't know. I don't know. Like, the only person that really grinds your gears on these shows is Reginald. So I haven't gotten like a good window into what you really don't like. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to like just project and say like Baron Corbin or something. I'll say Baron Corbin just to get to the answer, but I'm not sure.
It's Reginald.
It's Reginald. Yeah. It's Reginald. Should have went with my gut. It's the obvious answer. Ruins
you mentioned
every
him
segment.
Twice, and I was like, Tempest's right there. But it's
right in front of me.
I've never been so wound up by something as Reginald. And the thing is, it's not indicative of him, because he can do some stuff. You've seen him do the flips and stuff, and it looks pretty or whatever. It's indicative of his entire booking and how he just sucks everything out of every segment that he's involved in, because the character sucks. Yeah, I've spoken about Reginald enough. How do we get onto Reginald on an NXT podcast? God,
he finds his way into everything.
Yeah. Okay. All right, okay. Favorite show of all time.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. That's tough.
Of all time, as well. Of all time.
Oh. God, I've got.
There's quite a few. There's a few going through my head currently.
Yeah. See, it's tough. Like, I can narrow it down to like my favorite show for like WWE, my favorite show for NXT, mm-hmm. my favorite show for AEW, and my favorite show for like New Japan.
Yeah.
But picking one out of those.
Yeah.
All right. I think I've got it. I think I've got mine. Use your noggin.
I have also got mine. For you, I'm tempted by NXT TakeOver Toronto, just because you were there, and I think that adds to the feeling of enjoying a show. So I think I'm going to go TakeOver Toronto for that.
That is a very good guess. That was a lot of fun show. But mm-hmm. I would have to say my favorite show of all time is Dominion 2018.
That makes a lot of sense.
With Omega Okada.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's just the best block of time I've ever spent mm-hmm. watching wrestling.
Yeah.
Those matches. Oh, Nelly. There were so many good matches on that show. I got to go back and rewatch it about a year ago for WrestleTalk Extra.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
It's a good show, man.
Need a cigarette after that show. But TakeOver Toronto is up there, though. That was a very fun mm-hmm. show to be at. I'll never forget that with the pop of DIY winning the tag titles.
Oh,
that's probably either first or second biggest pop I was ever there for live, with the only other mm-hmm. one being Nakamura winning the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh man! Wait, you were there for Nakamura winning the Rumble? Oh, what a bloody show that was!
It was
so good.
Really weirdly blocked out, because the men's Rumble that was like the best Rumble in years was like third match on the show. I want to say
it's because Ronda debuted, so they needed that to go on last.
Yeah, and for you, strange. Quickly before we have to actually go live,
indeed,
I will see. I'm torn between two. Whether I think it's like your favorite.
There's two that are very close together, and I had to pick one of them.
I'm going to go TakeOver New Orleans.
Absolutely correct. Yes.
Yes.
100%.
I was going between that and Dallas, because I know how much you love the Nakamura entrance and debut.
Yeah. But... Not quite Dallas, just because Dallas, I feel like it has Austin Aries versus Baron Corbin on it, which is like, and you know, Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe is a really good main event, but it's not quite as good as some of the other like big blockbuster main events of other takeovers. The other one I was considering was Money in the Bank 2011, just for pure nostalgia, that was like me at my Marquiest Mark level in wrestling. And that was like me just riding the entire wave of hype. That was at my absolute peak. Like, this was when me and my best mate at the time, we stayed up. We had school the next day and we didn't care. And we bought the pay-per-view to watch it live. And it was all like, we were super into everything that happened. We were the ones that were chanting at home going, CM Punk, CM Punk, the whole time. It's like,
I love it.
It's such like a genuinely pure like memory of mine to do with wrestling. So that's got a very special place in my heart, that show. But anyway, let's hope we can use that knowledge on QuizzleMania later today. But that is going to do it for this episode of the NXT podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We'll be back with more. We've got Double or Nothing this weekend as well. There'll be a review of that on Monday too, where Tempest and I are going to beat Luke and Ollie on the live reactions as well. So as always, good. Anyway, we need to go now. Bye. Thanks for listening. Love you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.